This week, we focused on how Maui is coping with change and, in many sectors, driving it. The snapshot we've seen is part of the continuum of real life for Maui resident and former economics and geography professor Dick Mayer. For much of his 49 years on Maui, he's helped to plan its future, and he'll be the first to say that things have not exactly gone as planned. We thought we'd give him the last word. Dick Mayer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Bethan. Good morning.
Good morning. As you've heard all the slices of conversation over this last week, has it really represented what you see on Maui?
That's part of it only. It's been a very good section of things that are changing on Maui, but there are so many other things that we didn't have time to cover this week. So
what's on your list?
The Maui Electric Company and the whole electricity industry of the state is pending on the decision by the PUC whether NextEra takes over. But in addition to the decision the PUC is making, Maui County itself has commissioned a study to see whether Maui County or whether the county government or some other entity should take over the Maui Electric Company and operate it totally independently of a statewide company. That decision will probably evolve out of whatever the PUC decides with NextEra. In addition, we have the cable news network and cable system in the state being taken over. Time Warner's losing its franchise. A new company's coming in, and it's rather uncertain as to exactly how Charter, the new company, they're calling it Spectrum, is going to modify things. They say they're going to go all digital. We're not sure how it's going to affect our local public access channel, Akaku, over here. And so that creates some real uncertainties. And, of course, the whole question of water. When we talk about HCNS going out, we're talking about usually about land, but the bigger issue actually is actually water, because that will decide much of the future of Maui. Who will get the water? Who will have control over the water? And whether the farming in East Maui will be able to be increased in Taro and other areas out there, and then who will get the water in central Maui, and will the water be shipped around the island?
No, I was going to ask you, as you look at Maui and some of the issues that you just outlined, do you see Maui acting as one community or being increasingly more fractionalized?
That's interesting. My experience over the last many, many decades is that when I first arrived here 49 years ago, everybody thought of Maui as their home, the whole island. And as the population has grown and as the islands become more complex, many people now look at their own particular area on the island as their kuleana and are not even concerned about the other side of the island, so to speak. When their hearings were held in the past, anything happening on the island, people from all over the island came out and testified. Now what you see happening is that people only from that area, directly affected by whatever proposals being made, will come out and testify. And I think people have become more narrow in the areas that they're looking at.
And how has that affected politics?
Well, certainly one area is the need by some people feel to have district representation. Right now, the county council, there's a residency requirement as to where you live on the island for the members of the council. But people all over the island, all over the county for that matter, elect all of the council members. There are some who say we should have district voting, where each area of the island will be able to elect a representative who will really represent them rather than being beholden to the whole island. And that's a political change. And people from Molokai, Lanai, East Maui have resisted this because they would lose their ability right now to have a representative necessarily for their areas.
And as you've seen so much change in the overall population of Maui, with many more people moving to Maui, Maui being whiter than the other islands, looking at a Hispanic population there that's been growing. All of that, has that also played into the idea of who governs Maui, locals, newcomers?
I think very much so. We saw the first real manifestation of that in the last election with a GMO issue, where we had the initiative to see whether Monsanto and the whole GMO industry should be curtailed or at least put on hold until we can find out if it's healthy. And I think it was many of the newcomers who voted for that moratorium to take place. The courts will have to decide, and the decision is going to be next week when the federal court hears the case. But the impact of all the outsiders coming in, I think, has been dramatic. It's not just outsiders. There are many local people also voted for it, but I think the newcomers carried the initiative and got the motivation behind it all. So there is a changing political structure. It'll be interesting to see in the next several elections whether the old guard, so to speak, is diminished in their power and new people come in.
As you look at Maui in, say, 5, 10, 20 years, what are the things that greatly concern you, perhaps, that we haven't even touched on yet?
Certainly the ability of local families to be able to stay on the island. When I first came here, the big question was jobs. Everybody was concerned. At that time, the plantations were mechanizing. There were very few jobs. Almost the entire high school class of, let's say, 1959 or 1963 had to leave the island because there were no jobs here. The plantations were becoming mechanized. Now the question is not jobs, but rather housing. And a young family here, a young person growing up here, would like to be able to stay here, raise a family here, and now they can't afford to be here. So many of them are having to leave. If their parents are able to give them a piece of land or give them a house, fine. But that isn't usually the case. And so I think that will change greatly. And that also changes the political balance, because as young people leave, what we have is rich mainland people, and I think in the future probably even rich Chinese and perhaps others, Canadians, Alaskans, coming in here and being able to buy homes. The tourist industry, I think, counts the number of visitors that come to the island. But what it misses is that there are so many people who aren't considered tourists because they own a home on Maui, but they come here for 3 months, 4 months of the year, either live in a condo or have their own second home here. And that adds to the number of outsiders actually on the island and in some cases even voting on the island.
When we talked a little earlier this morning with Albert Perez from Maui Tomorrow Foundation, and he was talking about, we have to look at what the island of Maui can really support in terms of people looking through the environmental lens. Using both that lens and economics, what do you see might be a feasible situation to not cap it, because you can't stop people from coming, but how do you mitigate that in some way?
Well, I think the threats are considerable, and one that is the rising sea levels all around the island. The tourist industry has become our major industry on the island, but it's being threatened because many of the beaches now are eroding away. Many of the condos that were built along the shoreline, finding that they're having to build seawalls, and it's not quite sure whether those seawalls are going to actually help. They may protect the building temporarily, but it may affect other tourist areas down the coast. So our tourist industry could really be subject to some significant changes. Coupled with that is, of course, the fact that we've had decreasing rainfall over the past decades on Maui, and so areas that may have been lush and green in the past may not be quite so lush and green, not to mention, I said not to forget that HCNS going out of production is going to mean that the green central Maui may evolve into some other pattern. So there's some real threats to the tourist industry, our bread and butter industry. The one industry that I think you haven't really talked a lot about that may increase is taking care of the elderly. There are a lot of rich people in Sunnyvale and the hotel industry movie industry and other celebrities, and in Silicon Valley, who will be able to move to Maui, afford to be here, mm-hmm. and it may become an industry to take care of them, which could be a very profitable industry, actually, elder care.
Dick, we've got to go, but thanks very much for the snapshot based on everything you've known from living on Maui for 49 years.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
thank
your
you
time.
Very much for looking at Maui's issues.
Pleasure. Dick Mayer has lived on Maui for almost 5 decades and has been very active in environmental issues and in Maui efforts to plan its future. He taught economics and geography at Maui Community College and now coordinates the Alliance of Maui Community Associations. And just a note, all the conversations about Maui are now in a podcast, Remodeling Maui. It's on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.